This is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Massive demonstrations in Puerto Rico as teachers' union fights austerity.
Our wonderful demonstrator activists, educators, the teachers of Puerto Rico, the teachers' union, which is fighting austerity, and we're going to find out so much more about what they've been up to and what they've been up to when faced with the horrific austerity plans, the potential bankruptcy of Puerto Rico, and the otherwise horrific money that is pouring in and is being exploited by the hedge fund developers. And with that, Mercedes Martinez, who's the president of the Teachers Federation of Puerto Rico, let's begin with telling us about who the Teachers Federation of Puerto Rico is and what are the fundamental issues that you are dealing with.
Well, the Federación de Maestros de Puerto Rico is a rank-and-file union-based union that unites teachers from all of our islands here in Puerto Rico. And we are struggling the same struggles that our brothers and sisters in the States are giving right now against austerity measures. Right now, today, we went to court to fight for a Christmas bonus that the government is supposed to give us and is taken away from us. We are facing a possible closure or shutdown of more than 600 schools, the privatization of 15% of our schools. They want to implement a new teacher evaluation system using 20% of the students' standardized testing test scores. To apply it in order to lay off thousands of teachers in our country. So definitely we are giving a huge struggle united with other teacher organizations here in our country to fight back and to win, obviously.
Now, things are obviously going to get a lot hotter after the new year when the large $1 billion debt comes due. But let's talk a bit about recently how you've been fighting all of these cutbacks that have occurred in the last months, and well, I don't want to get back years because we could talk for hours because you have a very militant union which has been protesting for years. But how have you been protesting in the last, say, 6 months against the cutbacks? What form have the cutbacks taken, and what kind of alliances have you had, especially with the students and the teachers and the parents?
Well, I became the president right now in July this year, but have been in the union for many years. This semester, we faced, in August 23rd, we did a march. Hundreds of teachers were marching through the streets of San Juan. In September, we did another march with a lot of unions from all around our country. On October, with the General Assembly of the workers in our country to develop a plan to fight back as a class. It is a class struggle, so workers from the energy department, water department, and different employees and workers all around our country gathered together to develop a plan to fight back together. In November, we had a one-day strike with other teacher unions. It's called the Frente Amplio and Defensa de la Escuela Pública, where different teacher unions got together and joined together to fight back against the austerity measures that I talked about at the beginning. And right now we did a civil disobedience on the 11th of December with youth teachers unions. On the 16th, we did another civil disobedience in the Department of Treasury, claiming it was ours. And today we were reunited with the subsecretary of Education fighting against the punitive teacher evaluation system they want to apply in our country and opposing to it. So we've been keeping very busy, but particularly we've been visiting schools, organizing the teachers, organizing the students, the parents, and all the communities, because we have to fight together as an entire community. Public education is not a thing that you can only leave to teachers. all the community has to get involved. So we're working hard on getting all the parents, students, teachers, and other personnel that work in our schools together to fight back against this.
Mercedes, let me ask you how you would describe the conditions on the island at this point. I should say it was rather interesting that at this this past weekend, there was a three full page in the New York Times about the economics on the island of Puerto Rico and the ravenous, exploitative monies that are coming in and how they are being used by hedge fund developers, among others. How do you help us understand the cost, the expenditures, really the evolution of the debt, which, of course, is going to affect yourself as a worker, as a teacher, and the character of education on the island? Tell us more.
Well, as of the 70s here in Puerto Rico, they created an operation called Operación Manos a la Obra. And in that operation, they converted Puerto Rico to a tax haven island to all hedge fund developers and foreign companies. What they do is that they come here to our country and they are tax-free. They win and make earnings and profits over $35 million, $35,000 million per year in our country in profits, and they don't pay any taxes for the profits they make. So the government has recurred to put the country in debt, taking loans at high interest, plus corruption, and that has ended in this crisis of more than $72 billion that are owed right now in our country due to these tax credits and that has been given to all of these foreign companies, developers, and hedge funds throughout these years. For our union, we have no debt. Our country has been exploited for more than 100 years of colonialism, so we don't owe a penny to anybody in the world, and we shouldn't pay back for what they've taken from us. Millions of dollars per year have gone from our country. People are being exploited in their works, giving them harsh working conditions. And now they expect the workers to pay for the crisis that the capitalist and neoliberal government has created in our country. And that is totally unacceptable. We have proposed to the government many, many times at least to send, to make a 10% tax to all these foreign companies, and the crisis will be solved. But they do not want to touch the rich. They want to impoverish the working class because that's how capitalism works, and they want to impoverish us and leave us without any rights. That's why the workers have to unite together, because this is not one sector that's been affected. It's the entire people from our country that needs to stand together, because all of us are feeling these austerity measures that the government wants to impose. So the only thing that we can do to fight is to fight back, to struggle against this in order for us to obtain a victory.
You mentioned a 10% tax. I mean, frankly, I think it should be more, but what are they paying now?
Right now they're paying, if they're paying, 2%.
Yeah, all right. 10% is better, but let's try 20, okay?
Well, I understand
what
that.
What we get.
It's a tax-free paradise for all the hedge funds. Mm. I agree with you, it should be more than their percent. But even if they would only pay that little bit of amount, the problem of the supposed crisis would be resolved.
Well, this is not just the hedge funds. The corporations are paying almost no taxes also, like Walmart.
Walmart, Walgreens, Sears, all those foreign companies that come to our country and people here pay more. It's impossible for the workers to be paying an 11.5% sales tax on their salary. And we have these big corporations paying 2% and making millions. It makes no sense. Christmas bonus has not been paid. That's why today we had to go to court. We sent an injunction, and we're waiting for a court decision in favor of the workers because they've taken this too far. And obviously we need to organize our communities because this is only going to get harder after January when they're threatening to close the government because they're saying there's no money to pay the workers. They want to continue imposing these measures that are going to leave the working class in complete poverty. And definitely what we're doing and other unions are doing is the right thing and the right way to go. We have to go to every school. We have to go to every teacher. We have to go to every parent, every worker, every citizen that's been affected by this alleged crisis that we have to pay, that we have no fault, and it's not our problem. We are clear that this debt is not ours.
We are
clear that we owe nothing. So we should not pay a cent, and the workers are claiming for justice.
And I want to let our listeners know that we're speaking with Mercedes Martinez, president of the Teachers Federation of Puerto Rico. And one of the things I wanted to ask you was you mentioned earlier the issue of privatization. Now, we see the advance of privatization here in the form of charter schools and much of other services in Puerto Rico are increasingly moving in the direction of privatization. But what does privatization look like, and who is advocating for that in terms of the education system in Puerto Rico?
Well, right now in Puerto Rico, all the public schools are public. In 2008, the Federación de Maestros went on a strike. The union was the exclusive representative of all teachers, and that strike got us decertified. But for us, it was more important to go to the street and fight against the implementation of charter schools in our country and to obtain teachers' rights than to be the exclusive representative. That attack has been vivid after then, year after year, where these big companies want to take over the control of our schools and administer our schools, creating charter schools. Right now we have no charter schools in our country, and there's a bill going on in the Senate right now. They're in recession, but in January the session goes back again. And it's called Plan Batia's Project Number 1456. It was already approved by the Senate. Now it's going to the House of Representatives. And what they want to do is they want to create charter schools in 15% of our current schools. According to them, those should be the schools that achieve the lowest in the standardized testing. And for us, that's totally unacceptable. And the beauty of this is that they may approve it by January, and they may have their 5 minutes of glory. But in April, when those tests come, teachers have to prepare for a strike. And if April comes and no teacher gives a test, and students don't take the test, they will not be able to point the schools as failing schools when they're not. They will not be able to point a finger against teachers. And that way they will not be able to put that 20% on the teacher test scores or the 7% on our students' test scores of the general their average at promedio. And that way, even though they may apply, they may approve the law, it goes hand by hand with the flexibility plan. And now the No Child Left Behind has been reauthorized by the ESA Act. But they can approve whatever they want. But if April comes and we are able to organize this, and we are able for the test not to be given, they will not be able to implement whatever laws they approve. So more than betting on that this is not going to go and pass in the House of Representatives, we are preparing for a huge struggle in our country because the existence of public schools are in threat. We've seen what's happened in the States, where thousands of schools have been shut down, where thousands of teachers have been laid off, all because of the standardized market and corporate reformers that see in our children money from these debts. And we are definitely not going to have it. It's going to be a huge struggle, and it's definitely going to take a strike for the teachers to fight this back in order for us to prevail.
Well, let's move to January, which is a little bit closer also, because in January 1st, more than $1 billion debt is due, and there may be more cutbacks, and you mentioned even possible government shutdown. So what kind of alliances are being made now? What are some of the plans for January?
Well, right now we're part of an alliance called Coordinadora Sindical, and that alliance has union members of different classes. It has the UTIER, it has ProSol, workers that work on public transportation, hospital workers, teachers, all the different unions, progressive unions, rank-and-file unions that have fought for the workers' rights in our country and have a history of fighting against this neoliberal agenda. So what we're doing is that we're uniting, because definitely it's going to take more than one union to fight back against all these cuts that are being threatened against our people. We celebrated an assembly, a national assembly in October, and we approved there that we were going to work for a general strike in all of our country. But obviously, in order for the government to hear us, it cannot be a one-day strike. It has to be indefinite, and that takes a lot of organization to do so. That's why we are having meetings regularly on a weekly basis, seeing where every union is, giving labor classes, labor schools, creating labor schools in our union for all of our members, because we have the only way to organize the workers is going and talking to them directly, meeting with them, sitting down with them, explaining to them what's happening, hearing what's happening, and together working for options. Obviously, we have to develop a class conscience to the workers, and that's a huge amount of work that we are having in our union and all the other
Mercedes
at the same time.
Let me just query in the minute or two that we have left. Ken said your union, the Teachers Federation of Puerto Rico, is more militant. They've been involved in lots of strikes. You use the term progressive, and indeed you talked about neoliberal agendas and colonialism. What do you think the function of your union is? Is it merely a bread and butter consideration in terms of austerity, or do you see it having a power relationship in the working class having through its organizations, such as unions, a much more a strategic determination over the events and how things unfold in Puerto Rico and for the class?
We have in the Federación de Maestros de Puerto Rico, we have the executive committee. Most of these members have a big influence by socialism. So we have a huge responsibility among our shoulders to develop class conscience in the people of our country and the workers. We have a big role in the struggle that we're going to have next year. We definitely have to work hand in hand with the other union members together, but it's definitely going to take a huge movement in our country to fight back. We cannot rely on politicians. We cannot rely on political parties. The only thing that we can rely is in ourselves, in our workers, in organizing together to fight back any political party that is going to come to power, because they all do the same thing. They respond to the same capitalist people and movement. So we definitely have a big role and a strategic role in our country to develop this class conscience, so the workers can see that it's not an attack on one sector, but it's an attack on an entire country.
And we're going to... We're going to have to leave it there as we ready ourselves for the next program. Mercedes Martinez, president of the Teachers Federation of Puerto Rico. Do you have a 30-second chant for us? Can you give us one of the favorite chants of the Teachers Union, and we'll take it out with that?
Sure. We have a chant that says, "My triunfo sin lucha, mi lucha sin sacrificio."
Say that one more time and then do a translation.
Okay. It says, "No hay triunfo sin lucha, y no hay lucha sin sacrificio, y triunfo sin sacrificio." That means there is no triunfo sin lucha. There's no triumph without struggle, and no struggle without sacrifice.
What a note to end on. Indeed, there isn't. And we'd like to thank you again for joining us. We'll continue to keep our listeners posted as things develop and possibly leading up to a general strike in Puerto Rico. We've been speaking with Mercedes Martinez, president of Teachers Federation of Puerto Rico.
Now Rafael Bonabi, who is the Working People's Party candidate for the governor of Puerto Rico in 2012.
The most visible aspect of the crisis in Puerto Rico today is the debt crisis. But as the debt crisis is part of a much bigger crisis, it's part of a crisis which includes the fact that the economy of Puerto Rico has been stagnant for more than a decade. It hasn't grown. We have lost about 250,000 jobs in 10 years. And that economic stagnation is behind that is what you have is the increasingly lack of effectiveness of the government's economic policy, which is based on the policy of tax exemption, which is the notion that you're going to attract foreign investments, you're going to attract U.S. corporations to Puerto Rico by offering to charge them very low or no taxes. And behind that policy of tax exemption, I would argue, you have the very structure of the Puerto Rican economy, which is what one would have to call a colonial structure, which is that the economy of Puerto Rico, ever since the early 20th century, has been controlled, has been dominated by large U.S. corporations that produce different kinds of goods in Puerto Rico that generate a tremendous amount of profit in Puerto Rico, but most of that profit is not reinvested in Puerto Rico. It leaves the island. And since it's not reinvested in Puerto Rico, it doesn't create employment in Puerto Rico. It doesn't create economic growth in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help the development of Puerto Rico. So you have the debt problem, but you have the economic stagnation problem, and you have the problem of the dependent structure of the Puerto Rican economy. And while you have to deal with that problem in an immediate sense, you also have to go deeper and see how you're going to restructure the Puerto Rican economy in a different way, because otherwise you're just going to keep reproducing the present situation. Since the crisis has several levels that you have to address, you have to have policies which address every different level. In the more immediate sense, we feel that the debt of Puerto Rico is unsustainable. Puerto Rico cannot pay this debt in the terms that it was originally contracted without inflicting terrible sacrifices, unacceptable sacrifices on the Puerto Rican people, and without foregoing policies that you would need to carry out in order for the economy to recuperate. So in the immediate future, we have to renegotiate that debt to carry out the policies of austerity that the government is proposing in order to pay the debt would only be more unfair for the Puerto Rican people. It would mean more social injustice in Puerto Rico, and it would also be economically inefficient. It would perpetuate the present crisis. We have seen in the last 2 years mobilizations by students at the university, by university workers and both teaching and non-teaching, by teachers in the public school system, workers in the electrical system and other public agencies who have mobilized to defend their pensions, to defend their collective agreements, to defend their wages, and so on. So we should expect that these initiatives will intensify to the degree that the government insists in imposing its austerity policies.
Has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.